Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Let me invite you to turn in your Bible to Genesis 39. We'll look at the first dozen verses in a few moments. It may also be helpful if you locate this piece of paper entitled, Like Joseph, Triumph Over Your Temptations, because today we'll focus on Joseph. Joseph was God's hero in training, and so am I, so are you. God wants you to be his faithful follower, his hero, so to speak, and learn how to triumph over your temptations. Now, if you would personalize this message, it would make it more listenable. Here's how to personalize it. Fill in this blank. What is your greatest source of temptation? What is your greatest source of temptation? Let me give you a menu to choose from. Maybe it's food. Maybe you're a foodie. Or alcohol. Maybe it's an addiction that's linked to a too much. Could be too much work, too much pleasure, too much rest, too much recreation. Could be gambling, the internet. Did you know I heard a survey the other day that said people, they took their smartphones away, their iPhones and their Androids, and it physically increased people's anxiety and their heart rate and their blood pressure because they were disconnected for a couple of days from their devices. Maybe you've got an addiction there that's become a temptation for you. It could be that it's gossip or shopping or food or golf or something like that that's got a hook in you. You see, here's what a temptation is. Anything that lures you away from Jesus. Anything that lures you away from Jesus. The ultimate source of your temptation is the devil himself. Mark that down. Be wise. Don't be naive. The devil is your source of temptation. We learn that from the lips of Jesus. After all, Jesus said in John 10, he said, I have come that you might have life, life in abundance. But there's another force out there. There's another course you can take. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. I learned a long time ago that Jesus is a fisher of men, but so is the devil. I like to fish. I've been a fisherman since I was a little boy, and I've caught literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish. Fishing is based on temptation. What do? You take a piece of bait, and you, this isn't a very effective lure, by the way. This is a pumpkin seed lizard. And bass love them in the springtime. They're a natural enemy and they're a food source, so you just dangle that pumpkin seed lizard in front of old Mr. Bass. He thinks that he is gonna eat lunch, but you're gonna turn him into lunch because you're gonna hook him. And when he is hooked, he's caught. You see, that's how temptation works, friends. The devil will lure you. He will dangle a piece of delectable bait in front of you. And when you bite, boom, he hooks you. That's how it works. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You can triumph over your temptation. And let's see how Joseph did it. Come with me now to Genesis 39. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2, but the Lord was with Joseph, so he became very successful. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. So Joseph found favor in his master's sight, and he became his personal servant. He made him overseer over his house, and all he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from time to time, that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessings they were upon all he owned in the house and in his field. Verse 6, so he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge with him around. He had no concern himself for anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome of form and appearance. And it came about that after these events, his master's wife, we don't know her name, let's call her Miss Potiphar, she looked with desire at Joseph and said, lie with me. He refused. He said to his master's wife, behold, with me around, my master does not concern himself for anything in the house. He has put all things that he owns in my charge. There's no one greater in this house than I. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a great evil? And look at the last part of verse 9, and sin against God. And sin against God. This was his ultimate motivator. It came about that as she spoke to Joseph day after day, continuing to tempt him, to seduce him, he did not listen to her, and he would not lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work. None of the men of the household were inside, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world that's a fallen world, and you tell us that the devil is the prince of this world, the author and the architect of temptation. The devil, Lord, we know, wants to lure us away. I pray that today you would get me out of the way so that this story, this demonstration linked to our hero Joseph will be owned by each one of us. Take, Father, by the power of your Spirit, your word, and plant it into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want to show you. Three general observations about temptation and three practical principles on how to deal with it. Let's begin with number one. Temptation knocks on everyone's door. Temptation knocks on everyone's door. Now, Miss Potiphar was obviously trying to beat down Joseph's door, and she was trying to get his attention. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have been tempted this week? Would you just raise your hand if you've been tempted this week? Some of you are being tempted to lie right now. So you need to acknowledge we've all been tempted. Man, if you've got a pulse, you've had a temptation come your way, anything, what's a temptation? Anything that tries to lure you away from the Lord Jesus and his purpose for your life. So let's admit it, we are all tempted in many ways every day. Now, it's no embarrassment to be tempted. It's no embarrassment whatsoever to be tempted. You've got to understand the difference between temptation and sin. Now, let's all admit that we have terrible things that fly through our head in our thought life. Every person does that I've ever talked to that's honest. And sometimes we feel guilty about that kind of temptation. But temptation is a lot. It's understanding this. Temptation is the mental suggestion to sin. That's what all temptation is. It's the mental suggestion to sin. It's like birds and bees. You cannot prevent birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to allow them to make a nest in your hair. You can't prevent bees from buzzing around you, but you don't invite them to make a hive in your ear. You see, that's the difference. You're in control. The best way that I know how to express it, perhaps, is this analogy. When I was a teenager, I had a mentor friend. His name was Charlie Dodd, and he had played football at Baylor University. That was when they used to not be good. But anyway, he played football at Baylor University. See, they're good now. But he wasn't that good, but he was a great guy in the Lord. And Charlie, he gave me this analogy. He said, now, Jay, you're a young man. You got this thing called hormones. All young men have hormones. Young ladies have hormones. And they can pull you away and become God's alluring to step out of your walk with God. He said, consider your mind like an air traffic control tower. Do you know how an air traffic control tower works? There's one out over here at Danley Field. You see, there are a lot of planes that fly in the southeast, but the only ones that can land at Danley Field are those who have secured permission. That's the only ones who can land. You see, Jesus said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, the 5 inches between your ears is your ultimate battlefield. And if you can control that battlefield of your thought life, if you can prevent thoughts from landing and coming down into the middle of your mind and beginning to control you, then you're going to start to win the battle over temptation. That's how it works. Now, I want you to imagine this, because you're going to be tempted in many ways today. And what I want you to do is understand that Jesus can help you. Look on your worksheet. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. You see, Jesus is right there in the middle of your mind. He is coaching you, he's helping you. Just imagine something happens like this. Imagine that you went to a sporting event, like maybe Alabama versus Kentucky basketball game, okay? And let's just imagine you got thirsty and you went over to the concession stand and you gave them a $10 bill and they gave you change for $100. A lot of people there got a little confused. The cashier is starting to peel out $20 bills to you for your $3 drink. So what would you do? I mean, what would you do? Would you rationalize, I could use a little extra money. What a blessing. I'll tithe on that $100. Would you do that? Do you know what's just come your way? A little allurement, a little temptation, something that will impinge on your integrity. But who is there to help you and coach you? It's Jesus himself. You see, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way. We'll learn that in Matthew chapter 4, and he will help you resist it. Let's go to number 2, because the point is temptation can be resisted. It's what we see in Joseph's life. He resisted temptation. He did not say yes in verse 8. He said repeatedly, he refused her. He refused her time and again. That's what it says. Joseph, when Miss Potiphar tried to seduce him as the original desperate housewife of Cairo. I mean, she was the carnal vixen of Cairo. She was one wicked woman. And she just had her eyes set on this young man as a conquest. Now, he could not control her behavior, but he could control his response. And he did control his response. He resisted temptation. Now, friends, when you are facing temptation, let me tell you what Jesus said. Go on your worksheet to Mark 14, verse 38. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was facing his greatest temptation, his temptation to walk away from the cross and the redemption of humanity, he told his inner circle of Peter, James, and John, he said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. Here's what he calls us to do. Watch and be alert and be armored. We learn in Ephesians 6 that we have equipment that we can put on, this belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the good news shoes, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil, and the sword of the Spirit. You see, before battle, put on your armor. Not after you've been defeated. It's too late. You put it on every day. And this simply is a call to put on your armor and pre-decide your response. I've done a lot of talking with young people because I've been one, so I mentor them. And here's my best line, before the perfume and the pizza collide, you better pre-decide. That's it. That's the bottom line. You know, you got hormones. And before you decide to make a moral mistake that could have enormous implications, before that pizza and perfume collide, you better pre-decide what is your moral stance. Are you going to be a Jesus person of purity and pursue his purpose? Or are you just going to go as the media depicts, the way of the world? And friends, that doesn't just apply to young people. Boy, that applies to married people. We live in this culture of seduction that glorifies adultery. We even call it affairs. That kind of sounds neat. I'm going to go to a fair. An affair will take you where you don't want to go. And you know what I've discovered? You see, people who are like Joseph, they wear an invisible sign, and that invisible sign says unavailable. Because there are a lot of people out there like Miss Potiphar. They're looking for a conquest. They're looking to fill something in their soul that's void and blank. And you either wear a sign that says I'm available or one that says I'm unavailable. And you need to mark that down, because that's how you resist temptation, when you make a pre-decision. Let's go to number three. Here's the great good news. God always provides a way to escape. God always provides a way to escape. And that's what we see here. And I'm going to show you three ways to escape. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out, a way of escape, so that you can stand up under that temptation. I used to live in New Orleans, and they had all of these signs in case of hurricane that were escape routes. And so you would take this escape route to get out of New Orleans, to get away from the danger. Now, not everybody does. Some people even have what they call hurricane parties, celebrating the danger, basically standing on the edge and daring that hurricane not to knock you down. How foolish. You see, God wants to provide a way of escape. Let me give you three. Temptation escape route number one, wield the sword of God's word. Learn to wield the sword of God's word. That's what Joseph did. You see, we look in verse 9 and we see that his standard, he said, I'm not going to sin against God. He had deeply embedded in his spirit an understanding that God had made him, and he was accountable to God's standard of truth and being a man of purity and integrity and honesty was the standard of God. Maybe not the standard of this world, but it's God's standard, and that's what he wanted to adhere to. So learn to wield the sword of the word. Look on your worksheet. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O Lord. We learn in Matthew chapter 4 that when Jesus was tempted by the devil, when Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, when he was on low battery and vulnerable, who shows up? None other but the devil himself. He's fishing for Jesus, and if he comes after Jesus, he'll come after you, my friend. And what does he want Jesus to do? To turn a stone into bread, to jump off the temple as a publicity stunt. He wants Jesus to worship the devil. And what does Jesus do? On three occasions, he simply takes his sword out of his scriptural scabbard, and from the book of Deuteronomy, he slices Satan up. Now, if Jesus could defeat the devil with three verses from Deuteronomy, think what you can do when you get his whole word. So learn to wield the sword of his word. How does a young person keep their way pure? By keeping it according to the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is like a sword, and you need to learn the word of God and learn how to wield it. The second temptation escape route is flee and avoid. Flee and avoid. That's what Joseph did. Look again at verse 10. Came about that as she spoke to him day after day, he would not listen to her. In verse 12, when she tried to grab him and physically seduce him, he just ran away. He just turned his back and he decided to flee. Flee and avoid temptation. Let me put it like this. If there are certain people and places that provide extra temptation for you, they become the devil's allurement, avoid them, stay away from them. There was an old show called Hee Haw, and I'll never forget, there was a segment with an old hillbilly doctor named Doc Campbell. The patient went in to see Doc Campbell with a broken arm. He said, Doc, I broke my arm in two places. The doc said, I'd stay away from those places. Me too. Stay away. If that's what's going to get you, stay away. Proverbs 13:20 puts it like this. Those who walk with the wise will grow wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Psalm 1 tells us, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand with wicked people. Don't sit in the company of those who hate God. So the way of blessing is subtraction. You subtract the people and the places who will hurt you and pull you away from the things of God. So I would suggest that you need to analyze your companions. Analyze the places that you go. Look what Paul said to Timothy on your worksheet. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Friends, if you have this pulled to pornography and you've got a smartphone or a computer, you set those controls where you can't even access it. The scripture says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. Now, that is so practical because your eye is the gateway to your soul and spirit. So let me talk very plainly with you. Guard yourself and learn how to flee and avoid temptations. The last escape route. Escape route number 3. Consider the high cost of sin. Garth Brooks is right. There's a high price for a low living. There's a real high price for a low living. And the Bible tells us that Joseph refused temptation, and he explained that he would not pay the high cost because he knew that God was with him and was observing everything. We learn that in Proverbs 5:17, that the ways of a man are always before the eyes of the Lord. He is watching. He knew there was a high price for sin. Let me tell you what I do personally. When the devil tries to allure me, I try to do 2 things. Number 1, I magnify the cost of sin to myself. Now, sometimes we play the game of minimizing the cost of sin. But I learned a long time ago that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. So magnify in your mind, don't minimize the cost of stepping out of bounds in sin. But here's the greatest deterrent. Magnify the cost of sin to Jesus. It's on your worksheet. May I show you? It's found in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. I'm a very visual person, and so I've got to admit, when I sense that allurement of sin to step out of bounds, to compromise my integrity, to be pulled away from the things of God, I think of my sin as a nail. And when I willingly choose to step out of bounds, I think of taking that nail and driving it deep into the palm of Jesus, because that's what sin did. Sin put him on the tree. Not some sin far away or long ago. My sin, your sin. So see sin for what it is. It's the nail that put Jesus on the cross. Well, friends, here's the bottom line. To be God's hero, you've got to learn to say no. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for Joseph's example of purity in the face of temptation. But more importantly than being like Joseph, Lord Jesus, we want to be like you, people of love, serving, and purity. People who resist temptation and defeat the devil with the word and live lives of integrity that become an advertisement for your validity. Father, right now I pray that you would speak to listening hearts and motivate people to decide to be transformed into your image of loving, serving, and purity. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.